Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It. Emily Scott has made a name for herself cooking fresh and delicious food with local, seasonal ingredients in her home of Cornwall on England's rugged southwest coast. So much so that just last month, she cooked dinner for world leaders at the G7 summit in Cornwall. Emily received rave reviews, including a handwritten note from President Joe Biden that said, "You are as lovely as your cooking. Come visit in Washington." Emily Scott shares her recipes and techniques in a new cookbook called Sea and Shore, Recipes and Stories from a Kitchen in Cornwall. In her words, she invites us to, quote, close your eyes, breathe it in. Think of a place where the sky meets the sea, where the weather changes from moment to moment, where the coastline is beautifully rugged and hidden coves nestle among dramatic cliff faces, where surf breaks on beautiful sandy shores. This is Cornwall. Sea and Shore is organized by the seasons, winter seas, spring tides, summer seas, high summer and autumn tides. And you can find one of her summer recipes, monkfish Cornish chorizo and sunblush tomatoes on rosemary skewers. That recipe is now posted on our website, and we're happy that Emily Scott joins us now. Emily, welcome to All of It.
Oh, hello, Alison. So nice to be with you. Thank you for having me.
So you moved to Cornwall, 20 years ago. For you as a chef, what opportunities does Cornwall offer you?
I kind of have been coming to Cornwall on and off all of my life, actually. If I wasn't in Cornwall, I was in the south of France. So to end up as an adult in Cornwall was amazing. And I was never really sure of what I wanted to do in my kind of younger years, you know, that question, what are you going to be? And actually, arriving in Cornwall, I guess it's just the most wonderful place. It feels like a country on its own, not a county in England. So it feels like you kind of cross the bridge and you come into this amazing place and you're so close coast to coast and you're inland but by the sea. So it just had this wonderful sense of opportunity. And I guess I'd always cooked growing up. I grew up, as I said, a lot in France. So cooking was always something very, very kind of felt natural to me. But Cornwall offers this abundance of wonderfulness.
You write about arriving at the doorstep of the St. Tudie's Inn in Cornwall more than 6 years ago. Now, for the people who don't know about this inn, can you describe what it's like and what the experience of running that inn taught you about being a cook?
So I think I can say completely hand on my heart that turning up at the St. Tudie Inn, I didn't really know what I'd let myself in for. It was very provincial, so it's kind of inland, but only 6 miles from the sea, I might add. But it was an inn or a pub, as we call it. So it isn't just like a restaurant, somewhere where you can kind of cook, be who you are. It feels like the kind of someone else's place, if you get what I mean, meaning that we're a part of a village, a community, a heart of a very important thing for a lot of people. So I think it taught me a huge amount. It taught me that you can do anything you put your mind to. As a female coming into it, it was quite challenging because at the time I was actually on my own as a single parent. So I was, wow. I can't believe I actually did that. Looking back now, I don't know. I wouldn't do that now. But it taught me so many things about myself, like things that you can do anything you want and you can achieve anything, even if it's difficult. And I have to say, doing the 6 or 7 years at the inn really gave me a platform to really find what I loved about food and about cooking. And for me, in the book, I write a lot about bringing people together, and the pub is certainly a place that always happened. It brought people together, whether it was the man in the corner drinking his pint or whether it was a celebration of locals together celebrating the end of the week or people coming in for food. There were so many people's lives that you touch. So in that way, it was a very good place to be, but very tough too.
My guest is Emily Scott. The name of her new book is Sea and Shore, Recipes and Stories from a Kitchen in Cornwall. We'll get to the recipes in a moment because there are great stories in the book. Like it's such a beautiful book because if I saw it on a table, I might think it's a coffee table picture book. Just the kind of paper that is used and the quality of the photographs. And there's a lot of text in it. You have a lot of great stories you tell. You include also some fisherman lore. From, you know, we've been talking about it's on the coast. Would you share some of that with us?
Yeah, so there's quite a few laws of the land. And what brought me to Port Isaac originally was actually my husband. And that's where our children have grown up. So this is what I wanted this to feel like in my book, and I think it does, is authentic. So John is obviously someone I shared my life with and my children's father. So the law from John is never start anything new on a Friday. So don't buy a new house. Never start anything meaningful on a Friday. And actually, I still don't do that. Green jumpers or green wellies are a no-go aboard a boat. Do not discuss rabbits on board. If you do, you must refer to them as underground greyhounds. No whistling on board, as it may muster up a gale. First lobster of the season, and this is very important, is always thrown back into the water. And then a couple more. It's a bad luck to see a vicar on the land when you're aboard on your boat about to go fishing. Always get off the boat on starboard side. So they're quite interesting. And there's a bit of rivalry between Port Isaac and another fishing village called Padstow. And they refer to each other with very, very lovely names as Yarny Goats and Town Crows. So quite interesting.
Let's get to some of the recipes. Sea and Shore is organized by seasons, winter seas, spring tides, summer seas, high summer and autumn tides. Let's start with the winter sea section. Lemon sole, herb dressing, watercress, and sea herbs. What sea herbs are you using here?
Sea herbs. So I'm using kind of purslane. We're using rock samphire, things that are very easy, kind of sea beets, very easy to find and forage for. Obviously, foraging is something that you need to know what you're looking for, but it's actually, there are so many courses and so many books, it's quite easy to kind of start being able to identify them. But lemon sole, I'm a great person as far as cooking goes in inspiring people to cook fish, because it's such a wonderful thing and it's a very quick thing to cook. And in our fast-paced lives that we all live, I think, you know, I'm trying to get people to think more about what they're eating. And fish is a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to eat. And it doesn't take long. And you can keep it really simple.
Your sole is a delicate fish, though. So I'm curious, how do you suggest preparing it so it stays moist and flavorful?
So for me, again, all about keeping it very simple with minimal ingredients. So I bake a lot of fish in the oven. So all you do is on a tray, bit of greaseproof paper, good olive oil, which is a very staple ingredient in my larder at home, some sea salt, and literally in a hot oven for literally minutes, like 3 or 4 minutes, or under a hot grill. And that is all you need to do. A squeeze of lemon. And on this recipe, there's some fresh watercress, and then obviously just decorating it with the sea herbs. So keep it really simple. Don't mess around with it too much.
Let's go to the spring tide section. We have a recipe we're going to look at called Cornish crab linguine with chili, lemon, and parsley. You write that this would be, and here's your quote, a last meal request for me.
Absolutely. I think crab for me was something that was always very important to conclude my book. Because food's all about nostalgia and memories. And if I think about Cornwall, I often think about kind of a crab sandwich by the sea. Food kind of evokes different memories and different kind of all the senses. So crab linguine, again, it's very quick and simple. It's a wonderful weekend supper. So, you know, the Cornish crab or crab, I'd keep it to white meat only for this recipe. And then you've got your linguine, and you could make your own, but obviously you can buy really good quality pastas these days. And then literally with chili, lemon and parsley, at the end, and parmesan. That's a bit controversial for the Italians, putting parmesan with their crab, but it does work, and it's really, really good.
Now, it calls for fresh white Cornish crab meat. If you can't get that, are we allowed to use quality tinned crab meat?
Absolutely, I think. I think if you kind of make sure you drain it, maybe put it on some towel just to take any of the moisture out. Yeah, perfect. Definitely.
Moving on to summer and outdoor cooking, the recipe that we have posted on our website, monkfish, Cornish chorizo, and sunblush tomatoes on rosemary skewers. This is interesting on skewers.
Yeah, so the rosemary acts as the skewer. So you have you have some rosemary, and you can get sometimes slightly tougher stalks of rosemary. So you strip the rosemary from the stalk, leaving a little bit at the top still. And then you thread the monkfish, the sunblush tomato, and chorizo onto the rosemary skewer. So it adds a depth of flavor because you've actually threaded it onto the herb. And again, everything I do is there is simplicity in everything I do. I want to inspire people to have a go at something they might not have ever cooked with or even thought about cooking. And monkfish is a great fish because it's very robust. In France, they call it poor man's lobster. So it has a similar meaty texture to it. But really, really easy to cook because you can't really overcook it because it is so robust and holds the flavor of the chorizo really well. So a really lovely one to do over a kind of, I've talked about a beach fire pit, which we do quite a lot down in Cornwall, but you could do it on a barbecue at home easily, or even roast it in the oven. It will work really well.
My guest is Emily Scott. The name of her book is Sea and Shore, Recipes and Stories from a Kitchen in Cornwall. Let's talk about your kitchen in Cornwall, your Cornish store cupboard, as you write. And you mentioned Cornish sea salt as one of those things that you will find in your cupboard. How would you describe it? Is it flavor or texture different from other salts? How does it compare?
It's very refined and very beautiful. It's just very refined and it's classy. And for me, cooking without salt I wouldn't be able to do. But then saying that, some salts, you can kill something as quickly as you can enhance something. But this Cornish sea salt is very natural and very refined. So if you can get to try some, it's really worth it. And always, we use it in the restaurants and always at home.
You mentioned quality olive oil, and also you have herbs. Herbs are everywhere, fresh herbs. Which ones do you have at always on hand, and do you grow them?
So I don't have a particularly big garden at home, but I think I would always encourage everyone to grow herbs on windowsills, in pots outside your kitchen door. I have very small vegetable beds where I have a specific bed for herbs. I have parsley, sage, thyme, mint, fennel. I have all the kind of, I see herbs in kind of like musical notes. They're high note herbs and low note herbs, or if you can imagine like kind of winter herbs, summer herbs. So basil I'm not very good at growing actually, but obviously use it in the summer months because it's so good. But herbs just kind of bring to life so much in one's cooking. So essential. So imagine my basket, good olive oil, herbs, lemons, sea salt, parmesan would definitely be in there. So again, all quite stripped back ingredients, but very important to me in my cooking.
You know, I went to the Green Market this morning, and there's just so much amazing produce out there. So I did want to ask you about a couple of different recipes based around produce. You have a recipe called Last of Summer Tomatoes with toasted sourdough and high note herbs. There you mentioned your high note herbs. sourdough, tomatoes, and then what's a high note herb?
So a high note herb would be something that loves the heat of the summer. So like basil, thyme, mint, chives are good, but probably in that salad I'd keep it to kind of basil, maybe some flat leaf parsley, but that's really a wonderful way up to use up stale bread as well. I do that quite a lot in the book. You know, you make stale bread into croutons, or you make stale bread into a bread and butter pudding. For me, it's about trying to cook and, you know, keep waste to a minimum. So I think basil would be the highest note herb. I absolutely love it. And also chervil is very lovely, which gets forgotten. And then, of course, tarragon, which I do repeat quite a lot in my book, which is wonderful.
Everybody who has a garden or goes to farmers markets, we're up to our knees in cucumbers in the States at this time of year. And you have English cucumber sandwiches with salted butter. Obviously super popular in London and England. Not so much here. No. So how can we get Americans excited about English cucumber sandwiches? I mean, do we need to invest in special butter, special bread?
I think for me, it's probably the bread should be good quality white bread. I think that is the kind of, for me here, think of a traditional cucumber sandwich, it would be always an under-tin white sliced loaf. Then always skin off, always. And then again, put the cucumber onto some paper just to slightly dry it out a little bit. So you don't want the sandwich to be soggy. Good unsalted butter, softened as well, so when you spread the butter it glides on beautifully, and then sea salt, chopped mint is actually really delicious as well in the summertime, because that adds a really lovely note with the cucumber, goes really well, but very very thin, and then crust off, I think, but that's up to the individual. But I think they have to be eaten at a certain time. I'd probably say a cucumber sandwich is with afternoon tea. And that is very, very British, I know. But a cup of tea with a cucumber sandwich, you can't beat that.
And we're going to end with the first recipe in your book. And we do need this one quickly. It's a dessert. It's carrot cake, spiced carrot cake with cream cheese and butter icing. Why did you start with this particular cake?
I started with a cake because I think that life without cake would be very dull, and for me, I was so excited about finally actually being kind of my book becoming real, that I thought the most natural thing for me to do was to bake everyone a cake, so to speak, a virtual cake or a thank you for, you know, opening my book and reading it. And a carrot cake is always something I've always cooked actually for my children. It's one of those go-to recipes that I've always had. And I think baking cakes together brings people together, whether it's your children or you bake a cake for a friend.
Sure.
It's
sure.
You know, one of the most loving things you can do for anyone, I think.
The name of the book is C.N. Shore, Recipes and Stories from a Kitchen in Cornwall. It is by Emily Scott. Emily, thank you so much and congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much, Alison. Thank you.